We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It feels like Miami.
Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami, Miami.
It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is not Giancarlo Navas, and with me today is co-founder and somebody who can't currently get his mute system to work, Giancarlo Navas, and also got Tiff.
Hey,
Tiff's cool. Tiff brings like an additional like 5 points of cool to every pod.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Gee, get your stuff together.
Shirt. I love your shirt. I wonder where you can get that shirt, by the way.
Listen, if you got the cash and your couch cushions and your cigarette tray in your car, do they still make those? I don't know. But if you got change floating around, hit up that MHB merch shop.
Can y'all hear me? Are we good? Can everyone hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, because Brian kept talking over me, so I got scared. I was like, oh, God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heatbeat Podcast. I'm your host, Carla Office. With me today is producer, co-founder Brian Goins and reality check master, Tiffany Meeks. What's up, fam?
Let's go.
We good to go? Okay, listen, we had a little tech.
Not everybody can hear you now and all your awful ticks.
It's great. Listen, we have tons of stuff. The other day, I almost dropped my phone in the toilet, and I thought that's where my tweets belong, like there.
How? Wait. Explain.
I'm clumsy and I was cleaning the bathroom and I was changing the song on Spotify and I almost fell. Okay, chat says my mic's too loud. Let's adjust that a little bit. That's what happened. So we have a few things to talk about. By the way, we're gonna get into the finals. What a fun series, guys. What great basketball. We're gonna talk about that. I have a couple of takes. It was a great game. Absolutely phenomenal game. I want to get into that on the back end of the show. I want to start with something that happened last week. We haven't really potted. We haven't done like a proper MHB. We've done some Spotify Green Rooms. You can check those out on Spotify Green Room app. Follow us on Twitter at MIA Heatbeat. We tweet out the links. We have a ton of fun. A lot of Heat Twitter people. Come on. We have a great time. And thank you if you're joining us on Twitch, twitch.tv/MIA Heatbeat. We appreciate and love you guys for that. So last week when it was kind of, they were trying to fill the rest of Team USA because Kevin Love is out here mailing it in, collecting, Team USA swag, and I don't know if he gets a check or what, but he got sent home for being bad and are potentially being hurt, probably both. And now there's a bunch of guys in COVID protocols, and it kind of brought up like, okay, well, who's the next man up to join Team USA? And Duncan Robinson's name kept coming up, and as Heat fans, we're like, I mean, part of Tiff, I know you and I were like, I don't really know if my man should be playing ball right now. I think he should be resting. I mean, he led the league in miles run, played every single game last season, played and started every single game last season. And then last season, he also played every single game, including all the playoff games. So a lot of miles on legs that, frankly, at the end of that Bucks series, Piff looked absolutely dead and exhausted. And I've said this a bunch, like when Duncan were to kind of come up and screen in actions, or if Duncan were to come off a handoff, that's the first trigger. And then he does 50 other things in the set, whether it be cut, whether it be flare, whether it be screen or whatever. And he was just not moving. And to me, that kind of signaled like my man's exhausted. So we didn't really want him to go out there, right? Like, we're just like, my man, you should stay home And, you know, I don't know, do whatever athletes do for like rehab. You're the jock,
yeah,
not me.
No, I just definitely thought he needed the rest. That's one. But two, he's looking for a large contract. You know, like in a matter of like weeks, he's looking for a payday. And with COVID still rampant, and an injury can happen at the drop of the dime, I just didn't think it, I didn't think it made sense for him. You know, had he had his new contract and he felt fine and they asked him, fine, go ahead, do what you got to do. You got your guaranteed money. Life is fine. But there's too many things up in the air for literally him to just risk it all. That's how I look at it. I understand you want to represent your country and so on and so forth, but at some point, you got to be me first.
Brian, and the reason why, and Tiffany, you and I feel like the exact same way. The reason I bring this even up, because now Zach LaVine might not make the trip, right? Now that's up in the air because he's in the COVID protocol, and who knows what's going to happen with the days leading up to it. And Duncan's name might come up again, right? Like, you know, he was there. That was floating around. That came from somewhere. Maybe they want a little shooting, help their offense, whatever. And Brian, I thought it was really interesting just the general NBA Twitter's reaction to that. It was like they felt it blasphemous. And I don't think people realize that at the second half of last season, Brian, the only other player shooting the ball better than he was Steph Curry. And that is on volume, attempts, and any percentage, any PPP, anything you look, any metric, any film, anything you look at, the only person that was shooting the ball better second half of last season was Steph Curry. And we all know that the season prior, he was just breaking every sort of record. Brad, did you find that as funny as I did, that everyone's just like blaspheming against the idea of maybe the best shooter available making the team better than everybody that's there right now?
Did I find it funny? Probably not, but obviously, it's just interesting to see like Twitter in itself. Like you can realize like there's a lot of NBA fans who don't really watch other teams. And not to say like I'm one that watches like every single team in the league, but I know enough about other teams' rosters where I can tell if somebody's good or not to make Team USA. Duncan's good enough to make Team USA, especially with the roster that they have, which is a bunch of isolation players. They can use a guy that can just move off screens and you not have to have the ball in his hands to make a shot.
I
thought that was pretty interesting that like people didn't realize like where that fit would have came in terms of having Duncan on the team. Obviously, he's not going, and I don't think the Zach LaVine thing is even going to open up availability for him, because it looks like what they're doing is they're probably going to take more people from the select team if something else happens with the rest of the roster.
Tyler's on the select team.
We saw like Keldon Johnson, and yeah, I think he's back in Miami too. That'd be interesting, but of all the people that they kept, because they kept three players. It was Keldon Johnson. They kept, who's the other guy from the Pistons?
The kid from Cleveland, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Darius Garland and then Sadiq Bey were the other two. So I believe those probably be the other two players if something were to happen on this roster that they take their place. But honestly, like Duncan, it's good that he's even just mentioned and recognized, because imagine where he was like 2-3 seasons ago. He was just a draft player coming to the league. You know, he was a G League player that we all hated in the preseason.
he was. And he played the last game against the Nets on Dwayne Wade's farewell season. And I was like, why is this guy taking all the minutes? What is Eric doing? This is so weird. We were wrong.
I mean, it's awesome for him that he's even like just given the chance. He's given the chance to like even like turn down Team USA. Like that's crazy to believe. And then he's about to get a payday. Yeah, he's about to get a massive payday in just a couple of weeks.
Tiff, he's like, you know, and we've said this before, but you know, the Heat took him from a B+ shooter to an A+ shooter. Right. And that's him too. That's the work, you know, that's not just the Heat, that's the work that he's put in. But
yeah,
he's become a, like, not just, I think specialist is even demeaning to what he does. He is literally one of the three or four best shooters in the world right now, behind Steph and Klay. And we don't even know what Klay Thompson is going to look like when he comes back from all his injuries, right? It's like, if I ask you, you know, you want You can have any, like, you need a three-pointer with whatever time left, or Duncan's going to be high on that list. And the fact that he's worked his way into the conversation for, as an Olympian, that's fucking kind of wild. I mean, just look at him. Right. That guy doesn't look like an Olympian. That guy looks like he's like at the Geek Squad at Best Buy. He doesn't look like he'd be a fucking Olympian. That's absolutely insane what he's able to do. Just a consideration.
But it's like, so then what's the conversation then that we're having surrounding? Because everything you just said about him is true, correct? Yeah. Every team would want a Duncan Robinson.
Every team would want him. Every team.
So it harkens back to, why are we even talking about Colin Sexton?
He's good too. What do you mean?
But what I'm saying is, if every team needs and wants a Duncan, why are we so quick to kind of say, oh, okay, because you would be ushering him out to bring in this other guy?
No, I don't think so. I think you could make that work. Yeah, because Sexton's.
How are you making that work? Let me tell you why it's not working. There's no way they could play together in the backcourt. There is absolutely no way. It's the same as what we just had.
Because Sexton's a little bigger
That doesn't matter. If you don't know what to do with your body on defense, doesn't matter how big you are.
I get what you mean. The same.
It would be the same backcourt.
It would be
It would be in
the sense that you don't trust them on defense, and you're basically counting on your rotations, and you're going to have your back line flying all over the place, which is just generally unideal for an 82 game season.
I'll counter to Tiff's point. We saw the Heat make the finals with Goran Dragic as their leading point guard, and he's not a great defender. So it's not like they couldn't make that work with their scheme. Like, obviously they would be a very strong, like, heavy switch team still. It wouldn't be a great regular season defense, that's for sure.
It wouldn't
but
be
I think
a great...
they could make it work if they had to.
Here's the thing about it. First of all, like, we have no idea. Let's say Goran stays. We don't know what he looks like. But you don't want to have to heavily rely yet again on Jimmy and Bam. Because that's the whole problem where, as you say, it won't be great in the regular season. You can patchwork it. But by the time the playoffs roll, they're going to be dead men walking it again. So it's like it's Fast and the Furious. Each movie's the same. This is what this would be.
Okay, I actually don't disagree with you. What I will say is, so like I generally agree, like the fact that, like, if you're going to bring in like not a plus defender in the backcourt, and if you're keeping Duncan, you essentially kind of give yourself the same set of problems you've been dealing with in ways. Now the way you have to win is you have to have a really, really good offense, right? Because the defense was a top 10 defense this year, but it's just really difficult for that to be sustainable because you just really depend on Jimmy at the nail flying in and out. He's another year older. You really, really hurt your rebounding because now you're over switching Bam on a ton of stuff. So I get what you're saying, and I agree with you, but if that's the move that they have to make, that's the move they have to make. And Colin's a guy that can really, really juice their offense. And if they can be a top three, top four offense, and if they can just be survivable enough on the boards, I think it could work. Now, that survivability on the board depends on quite a few things. Who are you getting at the four? How much can Colin survive? And then how many matchups can Colin survive? Because he's not going to be a turnstile like Kendrick Nunn and like Goran and like Tyler, right? He's going to be a little bit, he has a little bit more size. So naturally, he's going to be able to kind of improve. I don't think he's like a horrible on ball guy.
Athletic.
Yeah, he's more athletic. I worry more about him, like, you know, when teams are running kind of more complex actions rather than, you know, just steady high pick and roll stuff.
I don't know. I just think that,
I mean,
like,
obviously he's not Jrue Holiday. So like,
no,
we have to get that out of the way.
No.
Like, I don't think there's not going to be anybody that the Heat can realistically get that's a great point of attack defender outside of Kyle Lowry.
Well, but the idea would be, and I keep saying, you would bring Colin in and you would move him to the two. Like, there's no way you would, like, have him as your traditional point guard. So like, there's no way. Like there's nothing that they could do in the offseason to get him ready for that. Like,
you're just moving the problem around. You're not addressing what ails you. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't disagree with you.
So I like Duncan, but what I'm saying is, if let's say like, if that's your only like, oh, let's just bring in Colin and bring in, and we don't have any other options, then you just put a problem somewhere else that you already had. I'd rather have Duncan next to even Kyle Lowry, if that's the case.
I'm with you.
Duncan would be your worst defender on the court,
depending on who you get at the four. But even if you try to reel it back out, you know, you're still
right.
The Ariza thing's really interesting, Tiff, because last year, and I think that we're going to remember Ariza worse than he actually was because of how bad he looked in that playoff series.
No,
because that wasn't the matchup for him. Because I think, and you're seeing it now, by the way, Jay is getting absolutely handled in space. He's not a space defender. And that was an issue here. And I actually wrote about that early when they traded for him, that he was struggling when he would switch onto quicker guys, because that's not his game. And if you're going to get a guy like Jay in space, you're going to have issues. Right. A guy like Ariza, you trust a little more in space. He has a little more lateral quickness. I think he has a bigger wingspan. He's not as strong. He's not as physical. He's not as tough, but he does help you kind of get more turnovers, which I think was important for the Heat, because getting out in transition, even though their transition was kind of dog shit, it was better than their half court offense. So, you know, him kind of being there to force some turnovers kind of got them rolling a little bit. I don't mind if they bring him back. I just think that people are going to remember him getting absolutely demolished by a guy that he had no chance against. That's just my little, that's my little spiel on Ariza, because I feel bad the way that people talk about him now. It's a little unfair, I think.
No, he had no chance at doing anything with Giannis. Like there was no way. Giannis was quicker, stronger, faster, bigger. Like there is just no way. It wasn't like when he played really well, it's when we played against teams that were smaller or he was quicker than his opposition.
Or teams that they could trap against, because they couldn't, they were struggling in trapping the Bucks.
It was just a bad matchup for him. And the sad thing is each game showed you why it was a bad matchup for him. And I think hands down, it was just a bad matchup for the Heat.
You know,
you say that. Well, I was actually going to counter. Like, what's funny is, like, Tiff, you say that, and honestly, out of all the playoff series that Giannis has played so far, I mean, obviously, he's still playing this one, but of all them that he's played, the lowest field goal percentage he's actually played in is the one against the Heat.
It was the Heat, but it was mostly Bam.
Yeah, it was most, and that's the thing.
Like, and Jimmy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
For the most part, they played decent defense on it. It was the rest of the team that pretty much...
I don't even think they shot the... Their defense was not the issue that series, although they had those two games where they shot the lights out. But all the other games, he kept their shooting in check. They kept Giannis relatively in check. What killed them was they got offensive rebounded to death. That was one thing that they just could not stop.
So many second chance
and they
points.
Couldn't score. And the couldn't score was like the fucking nail on the coffin of their whole goddamn season. And the offensive rebounding, you know, in a way, that was also, and that a lot of that was Giannis just out-toughing them. And that was Ariza kind of getting ragdolled around, and that's why it looked bad. And generally, like, they had to move Ariza off of Giannis, and that was, I think, the game four adjustment by Spo, because it was just very clear that they would get into a rhythm early, and Giannis would get it out to shooters, because then Jimmy has to come help, Bam has to come help, they got to send a guy over, and then the shooting was just absolutely killing them.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
So, G, looking at what Phoenix is doing, all these other playoff series that you've been seeing, what do you think the Heat could do differently if they faced them again next year?
I think that Miami has generally...
What would you do different?
What would I do different than what the Suns are doing or what Miami did?
What would you different just in terms of like, what? How would you game plan them for the next time you have to face them?
Because I think I feel you send
like
help.
What we saw in the bubble and what we saw this season, two completely different game plans. And I feel like the one this season definitely backfired just because they didn't have the personnel.
I think right. This season, what really bit them in the ass was their scoring, because I think defensively their game plan was really solid. They were sending help at Giannis and they were like, guys on the outside beat us, right? And what the Suns are doing is they're not sending as much help, but they're really staying home on guys and they're merely making Middleton make tough shots. And Middleton is a tough shot maker. So that's been like something that's been really good. I mean, Drew also has like kind of been hot and cold for them as well. And I think that's been some adjustments. I think the interesting thing about the Suns is that they've been able to survive and drop. And the big thing, the Dario Saric injury is kind of really huge for them, because Ayton had to play like almost 40 minutes or 45. Yeah. What did he play? Like 45 minutes the other day. They don't have a reliable backup five. I think Torrey Craig's a little too small. And especially if the Bucks have some fun small ball lineups where, okay, you're going to downsize them, I mean, we're just going to be better than you at these lineups. And I think Chris is a little banged up because their minutes, like every, like with Devin minus Chris, it's like good. And then Chris minus Devin, it's really bad. He's not surviving. I mean, Devin's really like kind of the fulcrum of their offense right now. And the Bucks defense has been good all playoffs. I think what Miami does really well is Miami is, I think, one of the only teams in the league that likes to be in rotations and they like to be in scrambles, because they have these fucking tornadoes as help defenders in Jimmy and Bam. And they can really get their hands in the passes and they can disrupt and they can make passes difficult, which is why the Bucks offense looked kind of fucked up. And if you look at the Nets series, That was really the series where the Bucks offense looked absolutely horrible, because they, you know, are a super switch heavy team like Miami, and they were just kind of have a lot of length, right? Like KD has a lot of length, and even when they go small, like these guys like Jeff Green are a little bigger than look. So the Bucks are kind of weird. I think Miami generally has a good game plan to defend against them, but I don't think the Heat have to do too many different things in kind of how they approach certain playoff matchups. I think this was just very specifically, I'm talking too much, but a failure of their offense. More than anything else, their offense just sucked all season and they could not score. And I think you see like Forbes can't stay on the court for the Bucks, and Miami could not attack him. And the show and recover, they could not solve it. And that's on Jimmy. 100% that's on Jimmy. That's like, that's on nobody else but Jimmy. And if you're going to have Forbes and DiVincenzo and Connaughton show and recover, I go, you gotta find ways to get into your sets a little quicker. You have to push the ball up a little faster. And if you got to set that screen at 20 on the shot clock, you got to do it, because you need two or three cracks to get the matchup you want. You cannot at 16 get that first screen. And now all of a sudden, if they show recover and you don't really get the matchup you want, now you're facing six on the shot clock. You have a matchup that you're not 100% good with, and then it's a shitty pull-up jumper. So Miami and Tiff, right. That goes to your point of they need a point guard. They need a guy to get them up the floor, to get them into a set quick, so they have guys that need a couple cracks at it, because they're going to get a good shot. They have enough really good players, but they just can't be doing the shit where 16 on the clock and that first screen comes. That's just not good enough. And if you look at these teams in the finals, they know how to push the ball.
Right.
So
Chet's saying breathe. Breathe, G.
Ah, listen, I haven't talked about the finals, really. I mean, when I go on Hangover Time, it's like performance and, you know, we haven't really done. Yeah, I'm sorry. Listen, it's been a while.
No, that was good analysis. It's, honestly, like that's probably some of the best analysis you've had this entire playoff
stream. It's a fun series. It's a really fun series.
Seems like you've been watching some NBA basketball, so that's good.
I have. Yeah.
So what happens?
What
happens to Chris Paul next season?
I mean, he's going back. I mean, I
fully guarantee that he'll sign an extension.
He's going to get the bag.
It's probably, yeah.
I think he's going to resign. But what happens to Chris Paul next season?
Oh, in terms of his ability, I think he'll be fine. I just don't think. Look, we've seen from Chris Paul something we've seen how many years in a row now? Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like he's a great NBA player. And it's just like at some points of the season, you get dinged up. And for some reason, it's always when teams need to know.
Tiff, they're a guard
and
short.
It's just shit luck, honestly.
They're a guard short. Campaign can't be your third guard. And I think
Javon Carter, which I feel like they should play more.
I think their probably priority will be kind of get another guy that they trust. And, you know, I don't know if they need a bit more of a scoring punch or a guy who can. I'm not really sure what they need out of that third guard, but I do think they need someone a step above Campaign, because when CP's without Booker, it's not looked good at least in the finals. And really, if you go back to the Clipper series, you know, when Booker was off and CP was on, like they were just getting absolutely blasted in those minutes. And those teams aren't going away, right? Like the Clippers are probably going to come back. So, I mean, they have a really talented team. Ayton's going to get better. Devin's going to get better. But I'm actually glad that you brought that up, Tiff, because to me, you look at the Bucks and what they did, right? So they trade Drew Holiday for 3 first round picks and 2 pick swaps. Right, which at the time we all made fun of them. We're like, this is ridiculous. What the fuck are the Bucks doing? And I think pick swaps are like the most overrated shit on earth. Like, unless like somebody gets like they're really. I hate when people say like 5 first round picks. Like, no, it's 3 first round picks. And
if the whole Boston Celtics that Nets trade, that's the only reason why.
Yeah.
But they go all in and they did something that was uncomfortable. They gave a lot of stuff for a guy that, honestly, was not a home run, right? It was not like this guy is like, you know, the answer to all their issues. He has warts. You had questions about his shooting. I think the defense you kind of knew, but you know, as a high level playmaker and as a shooter, I think there were legitimate questions as to can Drew really get us over the hump without Bogey, right? Because it was supposed to be Drew and Bogdanovich. And Tiff, after they nickel and dimed for Brogdon. And he got sent out and they had egg on their face. They got embarrassed by the Heat in the bubble. They come back. They have a really strong offseason. They re-sign their star. And I think that's great for the league that this ownership, you know, really fucked up with the Brogdon thing. And they really did not do a lot to improve the team. They got embarrassed by Miami and they really came back strong. And they had kind of an embarrassing offseason too because of the Bogdanovich thing. They held strong. They made some good moves on the margins. The Portis signing has been really effective for them. They made a lot of really good moves. And I think that's great for the league that they get a guy staying in that small market that shows you that, listen, if you do the right things, if you take the right chances, if you have a smart front office, that shit matters because you just can't reward, you know, these franchises that live in nice cities that back their way into success, right? Like there's a ton of them. I'm not going to name names, but there are certain franchises who just have been run like dog shit that literally every time they trade a young player, they get better. Looking at Los Angeles, you know, they just back their way into success. So I think that's really, I'm like really happy for the league because like that's, I think, a really good story.
Right. No, I think, and I was saying to you earlier that like a lot of these like quote unquote, because we say small market, but they still have more money than God.
Yeah.
So, you know,
non-glamour cities.
Right, right. But you get these players who end up being stars, and it's like, you got to spend the money. That's part of the game. Like, at some point, you got to go into the luxury tax. If you want to win, this is how it is done today. There's no more, you got this player, you're grooming this player, and all of a sudden you're champions. This isn't the 70s. Like, it's not happening now. Everybody's switching teams. People want to play with friends, and they still want to get paid. So this is what it is. So if you get that great player, New Orleans, I'm talking to you, get rid of the fluff and the dust and start making things happen. A la, you should be in the playoffs next season. Because if you miss the playoffs, that's 2 years already that you've missed with him. That's all I'm saying.
There's a lot of Sacramento, right? They have a really good young talent in De'Aaron Fox. And that it happens a lot. And a lot of these teams are, part of it is they just live in cities that guys don't want to be in. And part of it is that they're grossly mismanaged. And Giannis is obviously like a special guy. Not everybody, but Brian, it kind of also reminded me of when Miami traded two picks for Dragic, right? And a lot of people say it's not an apples to apples, right? Because, you know, the third pick is really a lot, but there is almost like a pick inflation lately, right? Like, you know, two picks back then was the new three picks now. You know what I mean? Like, Dragic is absolutely like the kind of the level of player at the time that Drew is. And I don't think, like, that's something that we love about Miami and specifically about Pat. And I know that he fucks up a lot, but the fact that he swung huge on Dragic and they really had a team of Dragic, Dwayne Wade, Luol Deng, and Chris Bosh playing the best basketball of his life. And that team absolutely should have made the conference finals. And they had a really good matchup against Cleveland that year. They were one of the few teams that had like a lot of really good wing defenders for them, like Winslow and Luol Deng had done a really good job on LeBron during the regular season. And it's just rare that you have two bodies that are really like the size and the strength to be able to defend a guy like LeBron. And obviously, you know, Dwayne on Kyrie and all that. Like, we were kind of robbed of that Eastern. And I tweeted it the other day, but I just, the whole talk about Drew kind of reminded me of like when the Heat went all in for Dragic. Brian.
Drew's better.
I mean,
I think what Milwaukee did.
Oh,
yeah, geez, I think he is. Stop. I mean,
he's better, not by a lot. Like Brian's like making it seem like they're just not even in the same stratosphere. But Dragic
was
play.
Great. Dragic was great at the time.
Dragic was coming off an All NBA season.
They're just at different points.
Third team All NBA. Come on.
Has Drew Holiday made an All NBA?
They're at different points right now.
No, yeah, they are.
Has
he? Good for him. He has made.
I don't know, man. Like, I get where you're trying to go, but I feel like it's a very loose comparison because the Heat didn't have anyone nearly as good.
He has never made an All NBA team. He's a one-time All Star, and he has never made an All NBA team.
Then
Dragic, conversely, did not make the All Star team when he made All NBA.
That is so weird. I don't understand how you make an All NBA team and not make the All Star team.
There have been players that
it's like
won defensive player
what
of the
happened
year.
To Bradley Beal.
Yeah, All NBA third team in 2014 and an NBA All Star in 2018 only, which he made like twice removed because like Kemba and somebody else got hurt or sick or whatever.
Yeah.
Good for Gogi. happy for him. I hope he stays, man. I love Dragic. Dragic is one of my favorite key players of all time.
He stays, or like I said in the chat, they're at plan Z, which means he has to go. If they get that far down the line and they're at plan Z, he has to go.
They're gonna have to make a decision on his option before.
Well, they have to have some intel of what they want to do in terms of like whatever they're trying to target. It's most likely gonna have to be in a trade market because outside of Kyle Lowry, he's like the only free agent I can see the Heat willing to spend money on.
Like significant.
I don't think
cap
there's
space.
Any other free. I mean, Kawhi, yeah, significant cap space. Like the rest of it, you're trying to find some higher salary players on other teams that you can, you know, kind of swing either the Goran or Iggy salaries, and you could do like separate trades for each of those contracts while attaching, you know, a couple of their other younger stars like Precious and KD.
The draft might be telling.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you see what other people do, you'll know.
And they're probably going to try to get in the mix. They might try to buy a second. Can they? They might be able to buy us. I know that, yeah, Riley kind of insinuated that they were going to try to get in the, right, get a pick, a late pick.
I just think if we get to the point where they have to do, you know, some sort of trade or sign and trade with Gorn or what have you, that means that the first three options were probably no longer options. Because I don't think that's something they want to do. They want to keep him, I think, but for less money. So if they have to get rid of him, that means they failed somewhere.
Or something really good came up.
To me, I think that's going to be the option that they're going to have to face. Like, if they really want to get somebody better, they're going to have to use a salary in order to move him, whether or not they like him or not. Like, it's just a matter of making the salary cap work in their favor. And that's what they're going to have to tell me whenever they trade him.
Like, if CJ becomes available?
Kyle Lowry? Or whoever, if it's a Brandon Ingram contract, either way, like, they're going to have to move his salary to make the numbers work.
You think you got to move Gorn to get CJ?
Yeah.
I don't even know. What's his contract?
In the 30s.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You would need both. You need both, basically, Dragic's contract and Iggy, I think, just to make, well, whatever. It's 120% or
it's 80%, right?
80%. Yeah. 80% is like the minimum that she can like match salaries, which that becomes tight, because once you make that, that would be a basic trade. So actually, that wouldn't be as bad for Heat, because you wouldn't be hitting the hard cap on that specific trade. But if they say they want to try to get Kyle Lowry as well, then that's when it gets a little tough, because then you're trying to, you know, stay under the hard cap. And I think part of the reason why I think the Heat are definitely going to go the route of being an overcap team, which means they would accept the team options to try to look for sign trades like for Kyle Lowry or even these other trades that we're hearing, like Sexton and Ingram. It's just because they want to use every bit of their exceptions that they can.
Yeah.
Like, that full level exception is a 9.6 or 9.7 million exception that they can easily use and get a four.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be to their benefit to be an overcap team, and it's going to require them potentially moving Dragic, because there's no way they're going to keep him on his current contract while wanting to make these other moves.
So
it's hard.
Dragic is at 19 team option. Andre's at 15. So together, you can get a pretty high number. Plus, with Hero's 4 million. So if that's the young asset that you attach, that's now you're getting into like legitimate. I have money and the asset, right? I have three players, two of them on giant expiring deals, and a really young asset. And if you can find a way to free up your pick, now you're in business for something good. Now, that's a lot of moving parts. And the freeing up the pick is a lot easier said than done. And depending on what they value in KZ Akpala or Precious or whoever it would take to kind of finagle the pick from Oklahoma City. But they can get to a salary number. Like, I think them and the Warriors are the two teams that can get to a salary number plus add young asset pretty easily and painlessly. Right, Miami's issue are just the picks.
Yeah, it's just the picks that the Heat don't have right now.
Do you know what that pick is?
It's the 2023 pick.
No, Tiff, do you know how that pick ended up in Oklahoma City? It drives me insane.
No, how did it end up?
It is the pick that you're gonna love this. That draft pick that Oklahoma City has was given to them by the Clippers. And the reason why the Clippers had it is because when the Heat were trying to get the Jimmy Butler deal done, they traded Hassan for Myers Leonard and Mo Harkless, and they needed to get rid of Mo Harkless. And they had to unload Mo Harkless plus a first-round pick to the Clippers to take him, and the Clippers started Mo Harkless. So the Clippers got a starter and a first-round pick because the whole Mark Cuban deal fell apart with the Mavericks, and they were sent scrambling, which drives me...
So it's still Mo,
but they
Harkless.
Kept Gogi.
Screwing us.
It's Mo Harkless fucking us.
And the Clippers basically traded that pick to go get Paul George.
Yes. So that's how. So that pick is the pick that they had to unload Mo Harkless for. Which
it was
like,
a protected pick, which is what's making it hard for the Heat to trade their future picks.
Yes, because it's lottery protected.
It's like a
they don't know when
1-10 protected
conveyed.
Pick that year. Yeah.
Because the protections keep rolling over. But that in turn messes the Heat up because then the pick can't be traded until it's actually conveyed.
Right.
I know.
Mo.
I know.
Yeah. No. Fun.
Yeah, I love tracking.
But
picks.
Honestly, like the Heat don't need that pick back in order to make those trades. And this is something I've heard on a couple other podcasts I've been listening to. Like, they could get any other team's first round pick in 2023 to be able to make those future trades.
Oh, interesting.
And how are you
going
to get a first round pick from a team?
So yeah, you don't need to get your own first round pick. If you just get anybody's first, then all of a sudden you don't have the okay. Yeah, because if they get their pick back, if they get a pick in that draft, I think they can trade up to four picks or something, right?
Yeah, the only one that they can't trade right now, obviously, is the one that's coming up this upcoming draft, which I don't think is really going to matter to them because they're not going to make a trade up by the draft. No. So to me, that's not a big issue. It's really just trying to find a way to get a 2023 first round pick. And honestly, and it's something that I've heard is like an idea just floating around, like you could potentially use Duncan as a sign and trade to get maybe a one or two first round picks back from if you could try to get that from like a contender.
So like that's something that
also
I could see the Pelicans have a ton of picks and they might want a guy like Duncan to play next to Zion. So like that's a target, you can see, and I don't know what you'd take back in that deal. But I'm telling you this, and I've said this a bunch, this is going to be a fun off season. There's like so much shit in the air. I think the Heat have a lot of rooms to maneuver and stuff like that. Brian, we're gonna get deep into cap stuff once the draft rolls around. Yeah. We're gonna have a lot of fun with that.
What the Heat can potentially do in the offseason, while it sounds like the most likely scenario is Kyle Lowry, and that's pretty much it, and retaining some of these guys who are restricted free agents. To me, they have a lot more potentially like cool moves that they can make outside of Lowry that like could really add more depth to the team than what they currently have. And I think if anything, this is going to be offseason. We're going to look back and be like, damn, Annie Elsberg is even better at his job than we ever thought he was. So.
Hey, Carliana, what do you mean by, I'm looking at the chat. What do you guys mean Steven Adams? Like if Miami should go after Steven Adams, is that who you meant by Adams?
No.
Because that's just his contract's really, really big.
Yeah, he's owed a ton of money.
Yeah, so that's
he does not fit.
And he doesn't fit next to Bam.
That's not not a shooter, so it's a little tough. They
I do know Jimmy loves him. Jimmy does love him, but that pairing would not work.
I mean, he'd be like a fun backup five, but this is too much money to pay for a backup five.
Yeah,
Here's the thing, like you get him and he's pretty much, because of his contract, he has to be your third best player because you're not going to be able to get anybody. It's kind of like what the Heat might do if they make a trade for Kevin Love. Like the idea of Kevin Love sounds awesome, but his contract is not. And it's really at the point where like you're tied to him, and you have to make sure he stays healthy if you want to get like good contribution, or else like we're also going to get value on the rest of the team. Like,
yeah, the idea of Kevin Love doesn't even sound good.
Not anymore, no. Especially after like seeing him. Julian Ramos asked earlier if we take JaVale McGee. Now, if they didn't have Deadman,
I'd take JaVale McGee. If they didn't have Deadman, I'd take him.
Yeah,
because he's like. And by the way, shout out to our man, because I mean that's for him to be a laughingstock and then become like legit good, helpful rotation player in the league. That's awesome. I mean the backup big. I mean Robin Lopez is another guy that I've always really liked, but they just have already like a really quality backup center who wants to be here, who fits the culture. Right. And you know, we've invested a lot of money in Deadman emotes and jokes. So he can't leave. We're fucked if he leaves. No. Stiff.
I mean, it would be cool to have another backup bid outside of Deadman. Like, I don't think it'd be bad to have a second big on the team.
If they get another big, I'd want him to shoot. So if they wanted like a third big, I'd want a guy who can shoot. But I mean, at that point, you might as well roll the dice on. I mean, they have Precious, Brian.
That's true.
So they're gonna. I mean, they'll have. Yeah, there's three centers. Yeah, shoot. Listen, Spo better thank Mike Brown.
Oh, by the way, it's official. By the way, that both not both KZ. What's Gade's first name now? Namdi. Okay, so KZ, Namdi, and Precious all made the 12-man roster for the Nigerian Olympic basketball team.
Yeah, so that's so good for them.
I'm so happy for Vincent. I'm so happy for, I mean, I love these Heat stories, and they just find guys. They always find guys. They I'm just happy, especially for my son, KZ. We've been KZ Hive forever.
I'd move him still. How about still moving to get that conditional pick removed?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I love my son, but I'm not, you know,
if that's what's gonna take to go get, I don't know who they're gonna get, but like, say, I don't think it's gonna be Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard's gonna be a little too much for them to potentially, unless he like completely says I have to go to Miami. There's no other team I want to go to. That's gonna be a tough trade for me.
You know what I feel like, Brian? I feel like the Heat are like one good player removed from like stars fucking being like, send me there, damn it. Like, if they had one more guy, I feel like it'd be a lot more attractive.
Kyle Lowry?
Because, like,
yeah.
Let's be frank. They made the finals, and I'm not team bubbler, and I'm not team fluke or anything, but, I mean, their regular season performances have not been inspiring, and I can totally see, like, if you're a team, just like, am I fucking taking a 5 seed seriously? Fucking fuck no, I'm not taking it. So, I but, you know, I think Jimmy commands a lot of respect in the league. Bam's like friends with everybody, which is really good. Saw all the happy birthday messages he got yesterday on Instagram.
I know.
Yeah, popular.
Definitely, definitely keeping an eye on that Jason Tatum.
Great and question, Donovan Crab. Mitchell
2025 big three pairing.
Crab asked a great question. If Nigeria medals, do the Heat hang a banner? It's funny that you mentioned that because I was actually thinking about that with Gogi. If he were to medal, I know he's not playing, but if he did, I wonder if they would have hung a Slovenian banner. If Nigeria medals, they better hang a banner.
They did. I was there when they did one.
No, but those are U.S. Those are U.S. banners.
Yeah. No, but they have one specifically in the rafters for each of the players that were on the USA Olympic.
That's what
teams.
I'm saying. But
so, like they have one for LeBron, they have one for Wade, and I was there for when they did it for both Alonzo and Tim when they were.
But
on.
I'm saying, but Crab's asking if Nigeria medals.
Yeah, they should.
I bet they should.
Why not?
If those guys are still on the team, because we don't know, but if they're still on the team, I think they will. I think they'll do it.
You think? I don't know if they're good enough. Because like, think about it. Then you have, you know, a KZ Okpala Nigeria banner, and you're after it forever. Because you can't take that down once it's up there.
When they win like the 30th NBA title,
are you committing
more space
to that permanent ornament?
If they medal, what's
Cardeliana says they should hang it in Sioux Falls.